I'm in denial of these, but I need them. Well, it's very nice to be here again this morning. Thank you for inviting me. And it's good that we have a connection with churches. And sometimes you hear preachers going around, and I was talking to Val earlier, you hear them preach a word 5 years ago, and then you hear them preaching it still going around. And the temptation is to do that, you know, because, oh, just look through my sermons and pick one out. I still believe God's in that, you know, he does lead us. But this morning I prayed for a word for you, so it led me to this scripture anyway. If you've got your Bibles or your apps or your phone apps, if you'd like to turn to Jeremiah 17, and I'm calling this the planting of the Lord. And Jeremiah 17, verses 5-7. A little bit about the background of this, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a wonderful man of God. He was a young man, called of God, a prophet. The word of the Lord came to him and spoke to him and said that God basically wanted to use him to speak to the nations, to speak to the nation of Israel. And he was so anointed, and he spoke God's word faithfully to a nation that was going into an apostate nation, turning away from the Lord. They were confronted with the words of Jeremiah, and it aggravated them, it vexed them, it annoyed them. They tried to put him in a system to have him killed. They fought against him, basically. But the Lord said, don't worry, I am standing with you. Speak my word. And that's a comfort, isn't it, for us? The Lord is with us. Speak his word. Stand. And Jeremiah did. And he displayed God's splendor. And he spoke the word here in chapter 17 to a nation that is now not having the word from him. And so, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, he comes out with this. This is what the Lord says in verse 5 of 17. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in parched places of the desert, in salt land where no one lives. This is the key verse. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Wonderful little bit of scripture there. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends forth its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries, no worries in the year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Wow. So that really struck me this last few days, and tried to think about that. And it is, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That word trust, you know, it goes beyond just faith and head knowledge. It's actually, you know, bearing your whole weight on God and trusting him through everything. And sometimes we have to come to our end of ourselves to see exactly where we're at. And that word trust means that you just abandon everything to God. And so that man is blessed. The person who is fully saying, God, at the end of the day, I don't know what's going on, but I am just giving it to you and I'm trusting you. And that person is the one who is blessed and whose confidence is in him. That's where we have to be this morning, our confidence to be in God. And that place is a place that we learn to grow into through trusting him each day, all the time, and through the time that we have with him in prayer and meditation of his word. We grow in confidence in him. Okay. For he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters. An analogy there, given to the man who's trusting, or the woman who's trusting, the person, the believer. The scripture says, God says, he's like a tree. You know, trees are awesome. He's been planted. And listen to what Jeremiah says. Because the Bible talks a lot about planting. I don't know if any of you are gardeners in here. Anybody are gardeners? Yeah, okay. I like plants. I seem to kill them. I just don't water them. I forget. And but, you know, here's a tree that's planted by the streams. And the Bible talks about God who plants. And in effect, Jeremiah is saying, the Lord, you have planted them. This is in Jeremiah 12, verse 2. And you have taken, and they have taken root. and grow and bear fruit of wickedness. They flourish. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. So God has planted people, but they're rejecting him, and their hearts are far from him. And they put forth their roots, and they're wicked. But they're still planted by God. Isaiah says God also transplants. So we can transplant these that he's already planted. In Isaiah 61:21, then all you people will be righteous and will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the works of my hands for the display of my splendor. Thankful today that we who have trusted Christ for salvation, God has done a wonderful work in our lives. We once had roots in this world. I certainly was anchored in it. I was anchored in all kinds of things until the day I came and I put my trust in Christ for salvation, and God did a wonderful work. He transplanted me. He took me out of the world. The Bible's very clear about that. He translates us into the kingdom of his Son, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are translated. It's a rapture. It's a taking out of. When we trust Christ, it's a miracle. We're talking about healing and miracles. Well, God does that first miracle in our hearts. He does a transplant, a heart change. We are changed and translated. And now we're in the kingdom of his dear Son, but then Christ is in us, the hope of glory. It is a hope, isn't it? To have Christ in the heart, all of a sudden we're filled with hope, not a hopelessness, hope that is good, a positive hope, the hope of glory. It's glorious now. We've had a taste of it, especially when we first get saved. We've come out of that dark place and come into a place of his Son, and there's glory, and there's a knowledge of him, and there's, wow, this is a different place I'm in. And it's the hope of glory. We taste it, but there is a glory to come. Hallelujah. Very often we reflect on that when we're in the dark days, don't we? Lord, take me home. Take me home. I want to come home. We are called to be his fragrance now. Paul talks about the Christian being a fragrance. Wherever we are, we lead around. To some people, we're a smell of death. To some people, we are a smelling fragrance of the gospel, the good news. We're a fragrance in this unbelieving and corrupt world. We were once spiritually dead. We know all these scriptures, don't we? We were once spiritually dead. And Isaiah tells us this. He talks about the remnant coming back. He says, and provided for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for the display of his glory. Yes, we were once darkness, and God has translated us. We were filled with corruption. Our motives were evil. We were affected by this world. We were in the system. We were unrighteous. But God has taken us out, and he has given us his righteousness this morning, that we might display it. Do you know that you're a possessor of God's righteousness in Christ? Positionally, that's where we are. And whenever we fall and fall into sin, and we do, and sometimes we can carry that load for days. You can be sinning on Saturday and getting out of it by Wednesday. Anybody felt like that? You feel like you've beaten yourself up enough and you feel righteous enough now that you can call upon the Lord. I've suffered enough now, Lord, I can come to you. No, as soon as we turn back to Christ, we come back to our position. We are righteous. That is imparted into us. But I want to talk about this morning also, it is imputed. It's imputed to us through faith, and it's imparted as we walk along in life. As we follow Christ, as we live for him, as we live a daily repentant life, righteousness is being imparted into our unfaithfulness. And so we live in that, and we display that to the world. God separates us from our sin when we repent, and he imparts it back that we're righteous, and we feel it in our hearts. We've been planted spiritually, locally, and in our vocation. We are planted. And as I said earlier, you who are gardeners, you ever watch the BBC Two programme, Gardener's World? So I get accused of being an old fuddy-duddy watching this kind of stuff. But, you know, it's interesting to see how a gardener can look at a plant and it needs to be planted and needs to be replanted. And they know what pot it needs to go in. They know what soil it needs. They need to know whether it goes into shade or whether it goes into the sunlight. You know, they do the gardens, don't they? And they say, this plant will look good here. We'll put it in the shade and it'll flourish. And we'll put this one in the sun because that'll draw the light. So the gardener knows where to plant the plant. Sometimes we have house plants, don't we? I've got one that keeps dying and I water it and comes back. And then I realise it doesn't need too much light. I read upon it, it needs to go in a darker place. And so when I put it in a darker place, it starts to flourish. So the Lord knows where to plant us. He knows where to plant a church. He knows where to plant you. In your vocation, he's planted you there. In your churches, he's planted us here. He's planted us wherever we are. He's planted us. And like the plant, we are to flourish where we are planted. Amen? To flourish in your ministries, to flourish in the church, to give back to the church, to be involved, to be partakers in it, and to serve the Lord in the church. That's what he wants us to do, to grow and to flourish. Okay, verse 8 says he will be like a tree. I love trees. I don't know about you. Wherever country I go in, I look at the trees, what kind of trees they have. I was in Budapest in April, and there was a huge tree. I've never seen such a big tree. And I said, I'm going to have a picture by this tree. And so Christine had to go further, right way back to get me and the tree in. It was such a big tree. And I was like a little person right against this huge tree that had a massive girth. And I was in awe of that tree. I just kept looking at its branches. Wow. And then when I went to collect some furniture, there was a beech tree right in the middle of this forecourt of houses. There it was in the middle. 200 years old, he told me it was. And I walked round the girth. I thought, this is an incredible tree. 200 years this has been here and suffered the weather and gone through all kinds of things and is still here and is still providing foliage for the animals and green leaves and a canopy for the people who stand under it and find shelter. And so it's planted. It was planted. And the beech tree is an amazing tree. When I stood back and looked at it, I thought, wow, you know, there's more underground than there is above. I thought, that's incredible. They tell me when a tree is planted, a sapling is put into the ground, that the first thing it does is sends down a taproot. And the taproot searches out this water table, and it searches out the boulders. And so that taproot goes down and anchors itself around the boulders. And the rest of the roots follow it, and they spread out in the ground and anchor the tree, and they draw up from the ground the nourishment for the tree. And so we are in Christ. We are like that tree. We are planted, and we are planted in the right place for God. The psalmist says this. The believer, in Psalm 1, tells us of man who was blessed, like the tree. He says he's the one who meditates. Have we lost the art of meditation today? So easy to watch the telly, isn't it? It's so easy to just say, you know, I need to chill out, I need to relax, and I'll just spend a few hours watching the telly. It could turn into 5 hours before you know it. And you're watching one program and another. All interesting. But, you know, have we lost the art of meditation? The psalmist said, the man that was blessed meditated on God's word. And the word meditate could be another word that, like the cows do. Have you seen the cows in the field? From the farming area? The milking cows, they seem to be in the morning all chewing the grass and they're busy munching away. And then in the afternoon, they're all lying down on the grass. They're just lying there, just chewing. An old farmer told me what they're doing is they're actually eating the grass in the morning. And then in the afternoon, they bring it back up. And they re-chew it. They masticate with it, and then they send it back into the second stomach for the milk. And I thought, that's very interesting. We are to do the same with the Word of God. We're to read it in the morning, maybe, and then think about it through the day. That's where we strengthen. That's where you really get hold of God's word. I know it's good to read commentaries, but it's good to meditate and think about God's word. And not only does he meditate on God's word, he lives it. And he has a prayer life. How many of us neglect our prayer lives? How many of us put a snippet of the reading in? Well, the scripture says, blessed is the man who meditates on the word, who lives the word, and who lives a life of prayer. He shall be like a tree that gives off its green leaves in its season and flourishes when there's drought, because he's put forth his roots and he's drawing up. We need to draw up in the seasons of life. The man is enriched because he's a channel of blessing to all them around. Are you a channel of blessing? I used to have a shop in Cheadle, an old charity shop, and I used to have to meditate and draw from God because I'd meet so many characters in that shop in a day. I said I could start a sitcom. I could write a sitcom for a TV series and have all the characters that have come in. And we used to sometimes enact them out with each other. And we knew who we were talking about, and it would be so funny. You know, but I had to be in a place where I had to be a channel where I could be blessing. Because there were so many people coming and different things. And so, to be enriched with God's word, to be enriched in prayer, you're able to give out and be a channel of blessing, be like that tree with the green leaves. And everybody always used to say, where's Chris? Where's Chris? It wasn't me, it was God in me. And I learned that lesson over many years. Gives forth his fruit. He's a shade to the weary, a fruit and nourishment to those who you come in contact with. You have to have the meditation, the prayer, and the walking to be able to do that. I read a story about the British Navy and Nelson's time. I'm talking about the trees that they use for the mighty ships. You know, the Endeavour, and the ships that they used were built out of oaks. And so the Navy would go out and send specialists out into the forests, and they would choose a tree. They would look at the tree and say, that's an oak. That's a mighty oak. We'll have that for the tree, for the ship. But then I read that they didn't just take any oak. They took the oaks that were on the outside of the forest, because they're the ones that withstood the storms. They're the ones that had taken all the battering of the weather and were strong. And the saplings in the middle were protected by the oaks on the outside. And so they chose those that were strong. I wonder today, are we strong in the Lord? Are we confident in him? Are we built up in him and like mature oaks? I believe I'm talking to a mature church today. And I was worried about what to bring. I thought, wow, it's a mature church. You are believers, you know. You're strong in your faith, and maybe you know what I'm talking about. To be strong in the Lord, confident in him. Because over the years, like that tree, you've grown and have trusted him through everything. But always life throws something else at you. Always something different. You think you've really gone through suffering, then there's some more suffering that comes. You think, wow, I didn't expect this. But because you've built up in the past and you've learnt, you're strong and confident in the Lord when it comes. A lot of people fall away at that. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Lovely scripture, isn't it? From Colossians 2 and verse 7. Rooted, built up and established in the faith as you have been taught and abounding with thanksgiving. A lot of things there to think about that we could meditate on. We are called to be rooted and grounded. That's the Ephesians version, Ephesians 3:17. Rooted and grounded. The Bible says that the tree puts forth its roots. I like that. Yes, it sends down its taproot. It goes into the soil and draws up. And so the Christian is to be rooted. You are to put your roots down into the pot. Wherever the Lord's planted you, yes, but in him. And to draw up from him. That is the fundamentals, rooted in Christ, drawing up, wrapping ourselves around him, going deeper with him and into his teachings. You know, the old teaching when I first got saved was, you need to leave and you need to cleave. You're not leaving, you're not cleaving. I had to leave the world, leave the things of it, and cleave to Jesus. And sadly, so many people are not doing that today. Young believers are treating the world like their phones, like quick instant, when we need to be rooted and grounded in the Lord. And it is a thing to learn. Epaphras had gone, taught them the simplest things of the word. He taught them the rudiments of the faith, and now they were to be built up. Built up means to be established, and established means to be confirmed. Confirming your faith. Okay, we all know what Jesus did for us, but we need to grow in that and establish ourselves and being confirmed. We need to possess the Christian life. What does Peter say? He says this. If you've got your Bible, I was thinking about it earlier before I came, and it's this. Peter, good to have the old tenor of Scripture and let it balance each one up. He says, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, okay, to the believer, to the believers at the church, he was saying, for this very reason, you've got the gospel, you've been called, but for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So that's something that God has done for us. He's saved us. He's planted us. But Peter says you have to, in effect, put your roots down and add to your faith all these good qualities. And I want to tell you something. I've been a Christian since 1981, and I've still got to learn to do this. I've still got to add to my faith. It's a constant walk. It is a constant growth. Adding to knowledge. Knowledge is good. It's good to read the word. But without putting it into practice, without having self-control, without having perseverance, we're coming short. So we need to have perseverance. We need to have self-control. We need to have goodness, to do good everywhere we can, in any way we can, to do it. And to have godliness. And to have brotherly love. How many churches suffer for the lack of brotherly love? How many churches see the opportunity to serve one another and fall short of it? The scripture says to add to our faith brotherly love. And when we see brothers and sisters in need, we're to act and to help, to come alongside, to encourage, and to be the green leaves and to be the fruit to share with them. The result, finally, is this. Verse 8 says, it, that's the tree, or the trusting man, like the tree, does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, he has no worries in the year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. And so many believers do not grow in the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord. Happy with shallow roots. And the scripture talks about shallow roots, doesn't it? When the heat comes, they fall away. So there's something that we do, put our roots down. When trouble comes, they fall. Yet, you know, it's in our troubles that we actually grow. We don't always grow when we're on the mountaintop, when everything's good and hunky-dory. It's a great place, we always want to be there, but that's not reality. The Bible says it's in the valleys that we grow. What does the psalmist say? He says, I will fear no evil. When I go through this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. So in that valley, in that shadow of death, there is a comfort that you wouldn't necessarily feel unless you were in that place. Paul said, when he was in his lowest ebb, when everybody had forsaken him, he was in prison and he was alone, but then he said the wonderful words, "Yet the Lord stood with me." He experienced Christ standing with him. What an experience that must have been. Crisis often have opportunities with them. Darkness has light. Troubles have God's presence with us. And so it's in those difficult times that we learn to grow. But the problem is for us, it's the prolonged suffering. It's the continuation. I'm going through a trial that's been 3 years, but it's church linked. 3 years. And it's going on. And you think, Lord, how long? Surely this month it will be over. And it carries on. But you learn to have tenacity and carry on. And say, no, Lord, I will trust you that you will bring it out at the end. We've got troubles at home. Tremendous troubles. And you think, well, as a Christian, I should have a peaceful home. As a pastor, I've got nothing but trouble with one of my sons. Nothing but trouble. He bit my wife's face the other night. You know, it's terrible. And then you've got to come and preach and give and talk about God and his love and everything. And you're carrying in your heart brokenness. But you're saying, Lord, nevertheless, I will trust you. You'll bring something good out of this. This crisis is an opportunity for you to move and work, as it did for Paul. Paul felt in his greatest troubles that God stood with him, and he stands with us. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He shall be like that big beech tree, rooted, grounded, taking all the battering of life, being a canopy for others, being a blessing to others. Everything comes under the tree that's flourishing for fruit, for shelter, for blessing. Are you that person today? Has your confidence in the Lord? And Jeremiah, obviously, was a man, the weeping prophet, the suffering prophet, but he was a prophet of faith. He didn't go with the rest of the country. God protected him, like he said he would. God protects those who trust him. God is with you and with us. And the idea is that you're rooted and grounded and like a tree, sending forth your roots, drawing from Jesus and giving out. That's what we need to be doing, isn't it? Giving out. No matter what is happening to you in your life, no matter what's going on at home, no matter what's happening at work, no matter what's happening physically, I can't see, I have to have these now, it's getting worse. I can't hear, that's getting worse. But nevertheless, hey ho, I'm full of hope of glory. One day this will all be gone. Isn't it? We can grumble and complain, but we have to keep coming back to the solid foundation of trust, faith and confidence in God, because he works everything out. Even if it's prolonged and going on and on and on, as we know in the past in our lives, he works it out for the good. You might be going through a trial that seems to be going on and on and on. How much longer, Lord? Well, one day he's going to say, thus far, no farther. I'm pleased with the lessons you've learnt. Now it's time to move on. And God will always move you on and plant you and establish you and grow you. Amen? That you might be a blessing. It says that we might be show the splendour of God to those around us. What a privilege to do that, friends. May God bless you here, the Dove. Thank you for inviting me. May the Lord bless you with his word through stammering lips. Amen. Thank you.